Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Arts Talk with the Johnson Brothers. Your hosts are printmaker, painter, illustrator Dwayne Johnson and actor, director, playwright, cartoonist Dennis Johnson. Each week they'll bring you guest artists who will talk about what it's like working in their selected field of art, their careers, and any upcoming projects they might have. Now, here are your hosts, Dwayne and Dennis.
Hey,
hi, welcome to the show. Our guest today is an artist from Dallas. Welcome to the show, Brett Dyer.
Thank you.
Brett, you got a...
Yes.
You got your minor, your graduate minor degree in, wait, where is it? Intermediate arts. Explain to those who don't know what's it mean by intermediate.
That's a good question. I get asked that a lot. It was really an option that they had for people that just really wanted to explore a bunch of different things that didn't really fit into one of the pre-selected minors that they had. And so you had in that option, you could take a combination of, I can't remember how many hours it was, but I chose to take printmaking and papermaking, bookmaking, and some photography classes.
Now, do you still do printmaking?
From time to time, like I have a studio in my house and it's just a bedroom. So every now and then I'll carve like a linoleum plate or something. And we have the equipment at the college I work for in Northlake, but I just haven't really gotten into it, very recently.
Dennis, you there?
Yes. Had something in my throat. You got your Bachelor of Fine Arts in painting. Is that what your master's is in as well? Yes.
Yes.
What kind of paintings
Talk
do you have
bit.
Themes that you go with?
I'm sorry, what was that?
On your paintings, do you do paintings with themes in them, or is each painting individual, separate, just whatever?
I kind of do both. Usually, like, I kind of have, like, what I feel like is my more, like, personal body of work going, and I feel like most of it, even back 10 years ago, still kind of, I think, is kind of cohesive. And maybe you can see different kind of techniques and media choices that I'm doing at certain time periods, but it kind of is more abstract figures and expressive marks and experimentation with different, you know, types of paint and collage. But I do theme stuff every now and then, like for certain exhibits. I think it's kind of fun, to sort of be a student again and get challenged to have like a set requirement for maybe a Day of the Dead show or a piece that deals with, you know, political things, or maybe has, you know, a more open theme like peace or something like that. So I do sometimes make pieces more for a specific exhibit that's usually a themed show.
Process more fun for you than the end result, or is it you're just trying to get to the end result using the process?
It's definitely the process, I think, for me. It's very therapeutic and I think even kind of spiritual, because usually it's something I do mm-hmm. sort of alone, and I don't really talk about, you know, politics and the world, and, you know, I try to be more positive and think throughout the day, being an instructor and maybe even a little inspirational. So when I'm in my studio, usually it's, you know, late at night or a day that I'm spending, you know, kind of by myself, and I just kind of see what comes out. Usually if it's any piece that I'm planning too far in my head, then when I start doing it, it can changes completely, because I just get kind of frustrated because it feels more like a job. So it's definitely more the process. Like, in there's, you know, sometimes I'll be working on like four or five pieces, and then I get like a new idea for something else, and so I start that one too. And I don't know. For me, it's that's the most joy I get is like in the process of making the work. I like seeing it in exhibits too, but sometimes like the receptions and stuff, I enjoy it, and I really appreciate people, you know, showing the work and celebrating artists. But I kind of get really, well, you knew me when I was more shy, Dwayne, but I still get kind of socially anxious, and I don't always know what to do and at some of the receptions. So I think a lot of artists kind of experience that.
Talking about your process, do you follow the same steps each time you do a painting, or do you go through different phases depending on the painting?
It depends on the painting. What's weird is a lot of times, like, there will be similar themes or imagery in the work, but almost every painting I do, it seems like it's a different process. Like, I think that's, I don't know if that's my ADD or just, like, curiosity to, like, keep experimenting. And I think now I have, I don't know, a few dozen kind of different techniques or things that I like to do, but kind of the order that I do them varies, or the surface or the colors. And I always feel like I'll kind of get a feeling for what I want to make, or maybe it will be about like a current event, or you know, maybe even a personal event that I kind of see a bigger picture, a lesson to be learned, or something I want to work through. And then I'll kind of have an idea of colors or mood for the piece, and then I always start from like the background to, you know, the foreground. And so there's like, it's always just kind of a feeling or an idea, and then it kind of just comes out of me, I guess. Like, I kind of revise it as I'm working.
When you're working on multiple pieces at a time, do you feel like they influence each other?
Sometimes, but a lot of times it's more, the reason I do that is because I know, especially one of the first times I actually had freedom to make my own work was at UT with Jim Pace, and he wouldn't really give us assignments. He would just tell us to start painting, and, you know, he usually would come around and tell us what was wrong with it, but I really appreciated that because it made me think about things and techniques that I had never done before. And even though it was kind of frustrating because I had never had an art teacher that really gave, you know, harsh critique before, but a lot of times his comments would be like, where's that painting you were working on earlier today? And I'm like, well, this is it. And he's like, you totally did another painting on top of that one. You need to start just taking it down, you know, every 10 minutes or 30 minutes and then starting another piece, because I think you get so many ideas, you just start putting it all into the same piece, right? Or you get kind of burnt out or whatever, and the next day you feel a different way, so you kind of do another painting on top. So that was a really good lesson that he taught me. And so now when I'm working, like, I may start the background of one piece, and while I'm waiting for it to dry, I'll start another one. And while I'm working on the current piece, I'll think of, oh, I have an idea for this one. And so then it's like when I get back to that one, I have a step to do. And then usually it's like I'll think of solutions as I'm working on a different piece.
Have you ever done a painting, started it anyway without having any idea at all what you were going to do? You just started maybe the background and...
Yeah, totally. There's even some of my friends will like give me old canvases and stuff that they've messed up or they don't want anymore. And they're like, well, I was going to throw this away, but we know that you like to just kind of paint on whatever. And I think it's just growing up without money. That's just, I'm used to dumpster diving for, you know, art materials. And so, you know, there have been a lot of times with work like that that's, you know, been trashed, or even like if it's just something like a piece of wood I find in the trash or leaning against the building or something, I guess because it's not something I spent money on or it has this sort of predestiny to become something, you know, masterful, like with those, a lot of times I do that. It's just like I just go into it and then like it just happens while I'm working. And so it's easier, I think, to do that with, you know, kind of stuff that I'm upcycling or recycling. But I had done it before with, you know, just like kind of more stream of consciousness drawing or painting. And usually, like, at some point in that process, that's when I sort of start to feel it.
Do you use a sketchbook?
Yes. I keep, several, but, like, there, none of them are, like, I see other people that are, like, so organized and, you know, it's like they have, like, a daily ritual, but I have probably 20 or 30, like, from home to my car to work, and some of it, times it's just, like, Post-its and pieces of paper or the back of, like, postcards that I do little thumbnail sketches on, and it's not the most organized, you know, way of doing it, but yes, I do keep kind of multiple sketchbooks.
Well, don't you see a lot of people, those that are organized, they're overusing their sketchbook, though. They're drawing too many detailed things in there.
Yeah, it almost is like it becomes an artist book in a way.
I'm like you, I'm unorganized.
You what?
Have you ever?
I'm like you, I'm unorganized, and I have like 20 sketchbooks, and it's mostly text.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, that's what I do. I don't really like to draw. Like, a lot of, if it's about a project I'm going to do or a painting, I usually write down more and, like, just kind of do basic kind of sketches, mm-hmm. or I'll put colors down, because if I overdo it, it's, like, already done in my head and I don't want to do it, you know, anymore. Right. Or I'll get frustrated because it won't look exactly like what I envisioned. But I have felt that, like, I've gotten better at that. Maybe it's just a few decades of experience. But now I feel like whenever there is, like, a commission or a piece that I've kind of thought about a lot, I do feel like it looks more like what I envision now than it did, you know, 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
As a painter, what would you say to a student would be the most important thing for a painter to know or to be able to do?
I think be flexible and be open to experimenting with different materials and ideas, and also, you know, being challenging yourself in terms of concepts of not just making something visually intriguing or sensational, but maybe trying to find a way to add content or a message to it. And because I see a lot of students, when they get the ability to play with color and value and texture and paint, like they want to do portraits and they want to do things that are, I think, slightly emotional, but it's more surface value. And so, like, one of the things I always tell my students is just try to, you know, not all art, there is art just for visual delight or whatnot, but I always try to get them to add more layers of content to it, because, you know, there's a lot of painters out there, but I don't know if there's a lot of painters that are telling stories and inspiring people and challenging, you know, their thoughts and imaginations and things like that. And I definitely think that every artist should always, you know, be trying out new materials to work with, and even getting in different, you know, atmospheres of working instead of just staying in your studio. That was really hard for me. I think all throughout school was working in front of people, and especially, like, with even different instructors, where some I would feel more comfortable working under their direction, and some I would be, like, totally petrified in class, like, to even make a mark, because I was so scared of failing. And, you know, now as an instructor, even when I first started teaching, I was kind of scared to do demonstrations and things, and now, like, I love it. Like, I think my students really get a kick out of it when I'll do an assignment along with them, or I'll, you know, during a painting class, I'll work on one of my pieces once I get them started, and they can kind of see my process from start to finish. And I think experimenting with different materials, I know there's a lot of people that they want to master and perfect this one type of paint or this one technique, and I admire those people, but with me, I'm always, like, curious, like, to try new things, and I get bored fairly easy, and so I've always wanted to learn, you know, new things. And even after I'd finished graduate school, one of my friends and artist, Deanna Wood, was like, oh, I'm playing around with the encaustic paint. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know anyone's done that in the last several decades. And so I went to her studio and I started playing around with it. And next thing you know, like, almost all my paintings were, you know, encaustic for several years, just because it was new and fresh, and, you know, it wasn't even something I was in a class that I was told, oh, you have to learn this, and but it was something that she knew through the techniques she had learned that it was something that would probably work well with kind of the stuff that I do with my work.
Do you see your work having some influence based on who you had for professors and what she saw of their work?
That's a good question. I think maybe yes and no. Like, I do hear them in my head, like, talking to me sometimes when I'm working. And, you know, I do, like, I think I haven't really seen any of Jim Pace's work recently, but I know when I was in his classes, like, I felt like I started looking, like, adding more layers to my work than I had before.
Right.
Because he used a lot of collage and layers and mixed media, you know, in pieces. And also just looking closer at detail and being smarter with techniques. I feel like a lot of my learning to paint was, I had great instructors, but I had developed, I guess, a lot of bad habits that no one had ever told me, like, there's other ways. And so I think in some of his classes, his sort of ways of finding extreme techniques kind of made me open up my mind to being more experimental. Like, I remember one class where he hung a bucket of paint from the ceiling and poked a hole in it and spun it around, and it was making these perfect ellipses onto the canvas on the ground. And
right.
I do that sometimes to show my students, and they think it's, like, the coolest thing ever, just like I did. And, you know, I think that I do experiment more, and maybe that is visible in my work after – you know, his class. And I know when I was at Kilgore College, I had Rufus Lovett, and he taught black and white, you know, photography. That's what I took with him. And so I felt like he really taught me to look at value and, like, how, like, I guess almost creating kind of like emotional uses of value in work. And I felt like after that, my paintings were less flat, and it kind of helped me understand a lot of things. And John Hillier at Kilgore College, he did mostly wood figurative sculptures. And sometimes I look at my pieces and I imagine them in wood, like when I'm thinking about them. So I feel like, yeah, I guess the answer is maybe yes, there is some of that. More technique.
Outside of your instructors, who are some artists that influenced you or that you can see in your work that you've influenced?
I think, well, after teaching art history, like my first few years of teaching, I wasn't planning on doing that. I remember I got an interview at El Centro College like a month after I graduated with my MFA, and it was for an adjunct position. I don't even think I knew what that meant at the time. Nobody had warned me of teaching part-time, and I just signed a contract, and my boss came in with a, like, 6-inch thick art history book and was like, here's your textbook, your class starts in an hour. And I almost had a heart attack because I didn't even think I was going to get the job. And I was on my way to go to Nordstrom where I was selling suits and ties. And so I called them and quit because I was like, I'm a college professor now. And then when I saw my first paycheck, I had to call them back. But I think when I started teaching art history, I started making more connections of how artists had always kind of appeared in my work, but I hadn't really seen the influences or the, you know, content that was similar in some. But if I remember, like, the very first artist that, like, really, I think, had an emotional impact on me, it was probably Kata Kulvitz. I was in high school, and I was working on a research paper in the library I think we had to write about what we wanted to be when we grew up, and I was researching being a pediatrician for some reason, and no one in my family had gone to college, so I had, like, high hopes for being a doctor. And I got bored, and I had walked over to the art section of the library, and there was a book, I think it was just called Self-Portraits, and this is in Hallsville, Texas, out in East Texas, and I had never been to a museum or an art gallery or anything like that. And so I was always intrigued by art, but I didn't really know much about it at that point. And I picked up that self-portrait book, and as I flipped through the pages, all of a sudden there was this black and white linoleum print, or woodcut, I guess, of a self-portrait of Kate Colbitz, and it was where she was, like, just looking straight forward at the viewer. And I remember, like, getting this kind of sick feeling in my stomach, like when you see, you know, someone that needs help, a homeless person or an injured animal or, you know, just anything like that that just, you know, gives you that aesthetic feeling. And I remember just looking at it and I kind of teared up and I felt that kind of empathy in my stomach and in my throat. And I checked out the book because the book, all it said was her name and it said self-portrait. And I took it to my art class later that day and I asked my teacher, Miss Lacewell, I was like, hey, do you know who this lady is? And she was like, oh, yeah, I do. But she was like, that would be a great research paper for you to write. And so then I had two papers to write. But I, as I read about her and that she had, you know, survived World War One and World War Two and lost children and grandchildren in the war, and her work was about, you know, the struggle of being a mother and a woman in a world that was, you know, run by men. Like, it just was kind of shocking to me that I had kind of felt that without knowing, you know, any of that information. So I guess, like, after that, I looked for more of those kind of emotional, self-expressive artists like, you know, Vincent van Gogh and Frida Kahlo and, you know, there's so many more. Like, I could talk about that for hours.
Talk about your work. What is some of the conceptual ideas in yours, at least the current stuff?
Well, with most of the current stuff, I had a solo show this summer, and there was just so much happening. I mean, there always is with, you know, 24-hour news coverage, but, you know, there was just so many, like, personal things happening, and then also within the world and just even, you know, I used to work at El Centro College, and, you know, that shooting happened at that college this summer during, you know, the protests, and so there was just so many things that I just really felt emotionally, and so most of this summer, it was just kind of me hearing, you know, being in a classroom, like, I don't know if you know much about North Lake College, but we have the most diverse zip code than any other city in the United States. So even we're more diverse than New York or San Francisco. And it's just really weird. Like the last time they did the census, Irving, Texas had the most diverse zip code. So my classroom, I mean, I have students probably from almost all seven continents and in almost every one of my classes. And what I love about that school is that everybody, they get along. Like we're like a family. And so it's such a contradiction to when we go away from the college and we see, you know, what's happening and, you know, hate crimes and, I mean, all these things that happen. And so it's really like it's like in class I'm, you know, super happy and optimistic about the world. And then I get home and I hear all these things and it's just like, wow. Like, so most of the summer I was just, it seemed like every night I would just come in and just start painting. And, you know, sometimes I was looking at artists that were trying to, like, raise awareness about violence and also artists that were trying to promote peace. And so, like, I felt like a lot of the work I did this summer, it was, some of it was very dark, but it was dark almost for the same reason, like, Goya painted some of his darker paintings to talk to the future about what happens when people stop reasoning. And then some of the more happy stuff was more kind of, I guess, like a break from the sort of violent world that we live in and was meant to be more hopeful that there is still goodness no matter, you know, what we see and hear around the world. There's still positive things that are happening. And I guess that's kind of what it was, more of like a kind of sermon I was giving to myself as well. But I hope, of course, that people always kind of get that from the work also.
Would you say your work is more reactionary to things going on, or do you ever have to do any real research digging for things to find exactly what you're looking for? And if so, how much do you have to do?
Yeah, there's been times like I've done, you know, research for it, but a lot of times I guess it is more reactionary. You know, there have been times that I've looked up like the number of things, and I don't know that I always make it obvious like with the work, because I still want people to kind of have their own experience with it. But, you know, there's been times like I was making a piece about maybe some event that happened, and I looked up like how many number of people were affected by it, and then there was like that many marks in the painting or that many dots or whatever. And so it was like, for me, it was more making those marks for those people or doing that. But I don't know, you know, I think there's been like one piece that I referenced that in a title, but usually if I do the research and stuff, it's more for curiosity and also just to find out, is this really what the media is telling us that it is, and is it true? And so there is sometimes, but I mean, I would say, you know, I would spend more time creating and reacting to it than like, you know, looking up things.
How do you go about selecting work for a solo show? Of your own work?
I've had, I'm trying to think of how many I've had since graduate school, probably maybe about 5 or 6. And it's always weird because it kind of, I think, depends on the gallery. And I know, I think my first solo show that I had out of graduate school was like at a TV station, and they had like some mm-hmm. hallways, and that was totally up to me. I think they said no nudity or something like that, but I don't really have, you know, that imagery in my work. And then, and for that, I think it was pretty much everything I had done since graduate school at that point. And then I had one at Kilgore College, I guess that was a two-person show, but I remember I picked all the like pieces that kind of showed a variety, because I felt like for college students, it would be good for them to see an artist and how they kind of take the same themes but use different media. And then there was one I had last year at El Centro College at the H. Paxton Moore Gallery. And that gallery director, he came to my house and he selected the pieces. And he was like moving them from like all over the house, and he kind of put it all out in my living room. And he was like, okay, I think these work together. So it was more, you know, his decision. And I had another one at a gallery. They just said, bring everything you've done in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, and they didn't include me in the installation, and they selected, you know, what pieces and what they wanted to go together. That was kind of cool because it made me see my work in a different way than how I would organize it. And then the one I had this summer, it was just pretty much everything I had done since January that fit into what I would kind of consider my own, like, ongoing kind of series.
We've got about 2 minutes with the live stream still. Tell everybody where they could find some of your work. Are you on Facebook? Do you have a website or anything?
Yes, I have a Facebook and an Instagram, both under my name. And I have a website. It's brettleedyer.wix.com/artist. And I think if you just Google like Brett Dyer art, you can find it. And right now I have work in three galleries: the Slant Gallery, which is at the Midtown Center, like Valley View Mall. It's a pretty cool gallery there. And then also at the Small Gallery. And I'm about to have some pieces in the Bathhouse Cultural Center in Dallas over by White Rock Lake. And also we're about to have a faculty show at North Lake this month.
The live show's about to end, but we can go about an additional 15 minutes on the archive, so we can keep talking.
Okay, cool. Okay.
You talked about the exhibitions and stuff. Lost my train of thought. I do that nowadays.
I understand.
He does that a lot.
I had a question for you.
Yes.
Dennis, you're going to have to jump in.
I was going to say, while he's thinking about it, you did some photography. Do you still do photography?
Yes. That's a really, like, I see a lot of people talk about people that just take pictures with their iPhone, or, you know, even if they have a digital camera. or whatever, but they do other types of art, and or they took one photography class and they call themselves a photographer. But I mean, I guess I do, like, literally I get in trouble every day by the people in my life because I'm constantly taking pictures of everything and crawling under stuff and crossing neighbors' property lines to take pictures of their flowers or whatever. But yeah, I constantly, and a lot of times, like, I have a file on my phone that I call my inspiration, like, file. So a lot of those photos are more ideas or textures or things that I look at later when I'm painting. Like, I'm going to somehow work that into one of my paintings or that color scheme or whatever. But I post a lot of those on my Instagram account and a lot of pictures of my dogs too. But I wasn't a photography show. I took photography in grad school and undergrad, so I don't know, you know, if that makes me technically a photographer or what, but I've photographed some weddings and senior pictures and things like that throughout school and, like, the first part of my, you know, career after graduate school. But I have gotten in a couple of photography shows, and one was at Northlake. They had a photography exhibit, and it had to be pictures that you took with your phone. And so it was kind of cool to see all the creative things people did, you know, with their phones and taking photographs.
Do you still do collage?
Yeah, a lot of times with Encaustic, I kind of go through ups and downs with working with it because it kind of requires, like, I'm not going to melt, you know, a bunch of wax and stuff if I'm only going to do it for 5 minutes. So it's more when I have, like, a full day or two to really get involved. But it really lends itself to collage because, you know, you can kind of preserve anything in wax, and plus it just creates this really cool look. My friend Deanna that kind of introduced me to it, she says, like, everything looks better with wax on it. So if I have a bad print or a drawing or whatever, sometimes it's just kind of cool to put wax on it. And when you collage stuff with the encaustic, you can peel it off and then melt it on there later. So it's really, I think it's more fun to work with it with encaustic than maybe acrylic or anything else. But even with my acrylic paintings, I still collage, you know, different various papers or sometimes things I find or things that I would have probably been told not to use in college, like glitter or confetti or things like that. But I just remember one of the teachers, I don't remember if it was Jim or somebody, calling glitter the herpes of the art world or something.
It probably was Jim.
Yeah.
Outside of paint and painting, what medium do you like to work with most? And why?
I love to draw. I really love to draw. I think probably because that's the first thing that I really did, maybe as a student. And that's why I love teaching, you know, my drawing classes, because I feel like I always want to be creative, you know, every day if I can. A lot of times it has to be just when I'm in class because that may be the only time that I have that day. But, you know, I love it when I can start a demo and then, like, finish it while they're working. Like, and I miss that kind of – I feel like drawing is like studying. And so that's probably would be my second favorite, you know, thing to do, is because I wish I had time every day to, you know, draw for a few hours and then – go paint or, you know, whatnot. Because I think it, to me, I find drawing just very relaxing and calming. Like it, and then you feel really, I don't know, it kind of gives me a feeling of confidence too, like when I focused on something that long.
Do you ever get influenced by what your students are doing?
Yeah, I think so sometimes. I always find it inspiring, like when I see them. You know, like as a, I've been teaching, I think, 11 years now. And you know, my first few years of teaching, I was teaching at four different colleges at once. And I taught like 7 days a week. And four of those days out of the week, I was teaching morning and evening classes. And I was teaching almost triple the amount of classes that I'm teaching now as a full-time instructor. And even throughout those times, I still made art. And I think the last few years that I've been, you know, full-time, you know, there's other activities at the college that I have to be involved in that take up some of my time. But I think I also have gotten, you know, maybe a little bit comfortable because I have more free time than I ever have. And so I will make excuses about, oh, well, I'm not going to paint today. I'll do it tomorrow. But when I see my students and they're working multiple jobs like I used to do when I was in school, and they're coming out with these great ideas or, you know, revealing parts of their personality or their experiences, like that to me is always, you know, inspiring that, you know, they're working through that. And it makes me want to work harder and not be, you know, a hypocrite that teaches but doesn't really, you know, make my work or get it out there. And, you know, some of their, I think more than anything, their stories inspire me. And it makes me, you know, it humbles me and makes me want to be a better teacher and a better artist, you know, just so that maybe I'm inspiring to them or a role model or, you know, something like that.
What's the most unusual piece of work you've done?
I think probably the most, and well, it was really a time period that like almost everything I was making was unusual, because I think for my undergrad years, I mostly made things that I felt like people would like or that they would look good. And even if they were really self-expressive and they still were made well and good craftsmanship and things like that. But when I got into graduate school and I had like full freedom and my own studio to work in at TWU, there was a period where there were a lot of things that were happening in my personal life that with my family and also just me working and trying to go to graduate school full time and not having really any money, that I started like making art on all kinds of weird material. That I was working at a department store at that time, Mervyn's, before it went out of business. And, you know, there would be like placemats on clearance for like 5 cents or something. And I would buy all of them. And I'm like, well, I can paint on these, or, you know, plates, like some plastic plates. And so I did a lot of experimenting in that time. And there was even one time I posted about it the other day online where I had, for some reason, I guess, just growing up where you don't waste stuff, like I had saved, I mean, probably at least 30, 40, like old T-shirts and undershirts that I'd had since I was in high school. And they were all stained and gross. And one semester I just started painting on those because I had a dream that I could, that they were like all over this gallery wall, like from floor to ceiling. And then I had an exhibit of a lot of that work, and I was kind of embarrassed. The school had asked me to have the exhibit there, and they had a student gallery that wasn't my MFA show. It was like before I graduated, but they had a small student gallery, and they were like, we want you to have a show. And I made some like handmade paper, and my mom had been recovering from like a horrible accident. She had been in the hospital. So a lot of it was stuff I was like doing with ballpoint pens and markers and things when I was in hospital waiting rooms approving surgeries and trying to find places for my little brother and sister to stay. And so a lot of the work was just really dark and depressing and not really the best materials or fine art materials. And then I had a show because people, I guess some of the students and faculty, they just knew what I was going through, and I guess they liked that I was doing something productive with it. But I was really embarrassed because I didn't feel visually that it represented me as an artist in terms of quality. So I had the exhibit, and there was a comment book in the gallery, and the cafeteria was right beside it. So it was a heavily visited space as people were going to eat. And I started going in there just for humor because the comments people were writing were like, oh, my kid can paint better than you, or what's wrong with you? It's good that you're in school because you can't draw or paint, and it's sad that you're so poor that you're painting on T-shirts and things like that. And then one day I walked in there, and there was a note. It was signed anonymous, and it said, I just want to thank you for making your art. I was on the way to the cafeteria to eat my last meal, and then I was going to go home and kill myself. I can't impress my family. I don't feel like I'm a good student or a good person, and I was just going to give up. But when I saw this crazy art in this gallery, it made me think that other people have problems too, and at least, you know, they're doing something productive with it. And is just that, thank you, I'm going to give it another day. And then, like, every day after that, that same person was coming in saying, like, I'm here another day. I see something different every time I come in the gallery. And at that point, to me, that was, like, a big moment that at first I made sure none of my friends were pranking me. But, I was like, you know, I don't care if, you know, I get rejected from a million shows or I'm never famous or I don't make money. Like, you know, that having something like that when you're making honest work through troubled times and someone else connects to it like that to me was like the best, you know, kind of gift as an artist that you could ask for.
Yeah, it's kind of why we make art is to try to reach people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was that to me was probably the most like powerful or influential moment I think in my career as making art.
Yeah, that's kind of deep.
Yeah, sorry, that was a long answer.
A little bit.
I
don't know where to go now. That is cool, though. It's good that you.
Well, this summer I painted. Yeah. On the side, like, it's not all that serious. Like, I painted my dogs for an exhibit this summer. So,
oh, yeah.
Some of it, you know, I have a more, comedic side too, I guess.
True. Well, Brett, we've enjoyed having you on the show.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it too.
Go ahead and mention your website and everything again.
Okay, it's brettleedyer.wix.com/artist, and I also have an Instagram and Facebook under my name too. And I want to say it's really cool that you guys do this together. I know y'all are twins, and I'm a twin too, but me and my twin are complete opposites.
So,
yeah, we're several thousand miles away. He's not. He's the bad carbon copy.
No. I'm going to tell Ma.
Go ahead. She knows.
Oh, yeah?
No, she does.
Doesn't.
She does now. Well, thank you again, Brett. It's been fun.
Yeah,
thank you, Brett.
You guys. Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye.